What up, TGH? Happy birthday. How y'all feeling? Well, listen, listen, listen. In case you've been living under a rock or you're here for the first time, this church, this body of believers, this group, this family turns two today. And I've been reflecting a lot this week on the grace of God to get us to this point. And one of the things that I want to do, that I try to do as often as I remember, but the Lord has to help me with that a little bit more, is I want to thank each and every one of you who have played a part in getting this church to its second birthday. Because here's the reality. It takes a village to raise a child. And TGH is a baby that God is raising, and it takes a village to get it here. So even if you just come on Sundays and pray, even if you just reached out to somebody but you've never served, even if you just here for the first time but you told a friend about it, like however you have blessed this church, thank you. As a pastor of this church, from the bottom of my heart, you've helped this church become what it is. We've gotten here, y'all, by a lot of grind, but by even more grace. Amen? Amen? Amen. But now we're in the terrific but terrible two stage. Oh, Lord. Now, I have a two-year-old son, so I know this stage real well. One of the challenges in this season of development as a parent is at this stage, the child has desires that it can't properly communicate. So what you get is what we call the terrible twos. Now, what makes the terrible two season so difficult for the child isn't that the child doesn't get their needs. It's that the child doesn't get their greeds. And this is the season we're in as a church. We're in a season where God, our Father, isn't necessarily concerned with giving us our greeds, but is completely concerned and committed to giving us our needs. That's why he's had us in a season of struggle. Has this been a season of struggle for you? I know it's been a season of struggle for me individually and for us corporately and collectively, but here's what God has given me a word to show you. It takes resistance to build strength. It takes resistance to build strength. When you get to the gym, there's something pulling on the other side of that machine, and that pull creates strength. So it takes resistance to create strength, and God is strengthening our church through resistance. See, we're celebrating our second anniversary today, but what they don't tell you is anniversaries always come with adversaries. And anniversaries always come with adversity. See, you don't reach an anniversary without going through some adversity. And that's why God led me to today's passage on our two-year anniversary. Because on the surface, this passage is about wrestling. But when you dig into it, as we will today, you'll see it's so much bigger than that. It's about identity, it's about struggle, and ultimately, it's about surrender. And I believe God's word to us as a church is our grind got us into our now, but his grace will get us into our next. That leads me to today's text. I'm in Genesis 32, if you want to flip there. It should be behind you. I'm talking about Jacob wrestling with God. Genesis 32, verses 22 to 31, it reads, "That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok." I just had to feel like I had to say it like that. "After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When a man saw that he could not overpower Jacob, he touched the hip of his socket, bloop, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then a man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go until you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome.' Jacob said, 'Well, please tell me your name.' But he replied, 'Why do you ask my name?' And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, 'It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.' Then the sun rose above him, and as he passed Peniel, he was limping because of his hip." Bow with me in prayer. Father God, I pray that you teach us today how to walk with a limp. Oh God, we're in a season where we've been striding and striving and fighting and wrestling and struggling and tussling. But God, you showed me in this text, and you're going to show us through this sermon, you have not called us to do all of those things first. You first called us to limp. God, we are limping into our purpose. We're going to limp into our future. We're going to limp into our callings. We're going to limp into our ministries. We're going to limp into our leadership. We're going to limp. We're going to learn today to walk with a limp. And I thank you for the limp, because the limp hurts, but it's the wound of grace. So God, I'm praying today that if there's any of us who are running and striving and stressing and pressing, I pray today in this moment you teach us how to limp. Touch us, God. Touch us in a way that only you can. Dislocate the areas of pride that have blocked your access to our hearts. And God, as you do that, teach us how to surrender. We ask these things in Jesus' name. I pray that the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, our strength and our redeemer. Oh, agree with that said? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. What up, TGH, beautiful people? So, I grew up an OD wrestling fan. And when I say OD, I mean OD. Like, I was a real wrestling fan. Like I'm going to test you for a second. Do you smell what The Rock is cooking? Oh, y'all ain't wrestling fans. No, I was a real wrestling fan. I'm talking Ric Flair, Nature Boy. Woo! I was a real wrestling fan. But my favorite wrestler of all was Stone Cold Steve Austin. I wish I had some theme music. I would bust out Stone Cold Stunner this first row. Don't play with me. I'm sorry. I'm back. I've been going through some stuff. I love Stone Cold because Stone Cold was G'd up from the feet up. I mean, Stone Cold was stunning anybody. He's stunning everybody. He's stunning his own mama. Like, Stone Cold, and KD, he'll get in your face and tell you about it. You know, he all in. And so I love Stone Cold because Stone Cold was never scared. He was never scared. But growing up a wrestling fan, I never thought in a million years that I would grow up to become a wrestler. Oh, don't look at me funny, because you were a wrestler too. We may not have stage names and signature moves, but we all wrestle. We wrestle with self-doubt. We wrestle with self-worth. We wrestle with purpose. We wrestle with people. We wrestle with who we are, and we wrestle with who we were made to be. And ultimately, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, powers, and the rulers of darkness in this present world. We're all wrestlers. We're all stuck in a struggle between Jacob and Israel. And I believe God has revealed to me that we're in a season of wrestle as a church. We're in a season where we're wrestling for unity. Where we're wrestling for identity. Where we're wrestling for through conflict. Where we're wrestling for impact. We're in a season where God is building our strength through struggle. And nobody teaches us how to do that better than Jacob. So I'm excited to dig into this passage. That leads me then to my first point. You didn't ask for the fight. You didn't ask for this fight. Did you ask for this fight? No, you didn't. Are you in it? Yes, you are. You didn't ask for the fight. Today we meet a jittery Jacob. Oh, he's jittery. Jacob is jittery because God's just given him a word to return home to Canaan. Now, Jacob's been gone for over 20 years, and going home for Jacob doesn't mean going back to taste mama's cooking. Going home for Jacob means going back to confront his past. And during the journey back home, Jacob gets wind that his brother Esau is coming to confront him on the journey back. Now, Esau is Jacob's older brother. I mean, there's some real Love and Hip Hop type drama here. And years before Jacob left 20 years earlier, the reason why he left and is on a run is because his own mother told him, hey, if you want to get your father's birthright, because in those days, the eldest son got the father's birthright. What was the father's birthright? The father's birthright was this belief that the blessing that was on the father was going to be passed down to the eldest son. And so the father would give that blessing to his eldest son by laying hands on him. And so Jacob is not the oldest, but his mother wants him to get the blessing. Oh, you think you became a mess on your own? You had some help getting there. See, Jacob then dressed up as his brother Esau, who was a heady man, heady like animal. So he puts on all his hair to dress up like his brother Esau. And what his mother taught him was you have to be somebody else in order to get blessed. He learned that at a young age, and he didn't learn it by himself. Some of the dysfunctions in your life, you didn't learn by yourself. Somebody taught you that. So he dresses up as his brother Esau, and he finesses Esau out of his birthright. And now, once he put the finesse on Esau, he fled because Esau was bout it. Like, Esau was really about it. Like, Esau was one of those people that don't talk, you know, those silent killers. They don't say nothing, they just do it, right? That was Esau. Esau wasn't going to talk about it. So it's been over 20 years since Jacob's seen his brother Esau. He's finessed him out of his birthright. And now he's heard that Esau's coming 400 deep, and he got it on him. Oh, he got it on him. Esau got it on him. So what's Jacob going to do now? What do you do when God has called you to a situation where your enemy and your obstacles are bigger than you? Well, the first thing Jacob does is right here in this text, and this is what we all do first. In verses 22 and 23, the Bible says that night he got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. What is Jacob doing? He's doing what Jacob does. He's strategizing. He's wrestling. Jacob's name literally means the one who seizes the heel. Jacob knows how to strategize himself out of a situation. Jacob knows how to go to strategy before he goes to prayer. Jacob knows how to go to people before he goes to praise. Jacob knows his own methods and ways to get himself out of a tight situation. Jacob is strategizing. And what is his strategy? He's like, well, I know Esau is mad. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send over all my possessions and gifts that God has blessed me with. And I'm going to try to give him this peace offering to placate his wrath. See, Jacob's learned how to grab, how to jostle, how to juke, and how to do whatever he needs to do to finagle his way to victory. But what happens when you find yourself in a season where you can't flirt your way out of? What happens when you find yourself in a season where you can't fake your way out of? What happens when you find yourself in a season where you can't fight your way out of? What if you're in a season where all you can do is faith your way out of it? Jacob is being deliberately led by God into a fight that he cannot win. He's not going to win this fight. We don't believe you. You need more people. He don't got enough. He ain't got the answer, Sway. He ain't got it. He is not going to win this battle. So Jacob says, man, if I can't win it on my own strength, let me win it through my strategy. So he sends over all his possessions. And now there's no distractions, there's only Jacob. And while Jacob is contemplating how his life is going to end the next day, he gets up and runs down, and how his brother's going to run down on him. He's sitting there and he feels all alone, but the Bible says he wasn't alone. The next verse is, it says, so Jacob was left alone, but Jacob was not alone. He was left alone by people, but he was not alone. And so the Bible says, so Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Where did this man come from? Jacob is contemplating his life, and all of a sudden he's in a cage match. Jacob is minding his own business, and all of a sudden he's in a headlock. Jacob's in a fight that he didn't ask for. He didn't confront the man. He didn't pull up on the man. He didn't talk smack to the man. He didn't even know the man was there. Jacob didn't ask for this fight. He was not looking for this battle, but this battle was looking for him. Sometimes it's the fight that you don't want that you need the most. Why do I say that? Here's why I say that. Because later in this text, we find out that the stranger that struggles with Jacob is not just any stranger. This is God himself in human form. Here's a word for somebody. God doesn't always show up in your life looking like God. Oh, you ain't gonna talk back to me, but I'm gonna preach this. Sometimes God shows up looking like struggle. Sometimes God shows up looking like adversity. Sometimes God shows up looking like unemployment. Sometimes God shows up looking like stress. Sometimes it's God that grabs you and won't let you go. Sometimes it's God that won't let you sleep. Sometimes it's God that won't give you peace. Sometimes it's God that won't let you rest. Sometimes it's God that won't let you get through it. Sometimes it's not an enemy. Sometimes it's God. Don't think Jesus always shows up in your life looking like a miracle worker. Sometimes he looks like a wrestler. Did you hear what I just said? Oh, I came to preach this anniversary. God looks like a wrestler. Don't think he always looks like a miracle worker. Sometimes he'll heal you. Sometimes he'll put you in a headlock. And notice when God initiates this fight. He don't initiate the fight when you got Ray Ray and them and Keisha and Cuzzo and all your co-workers around you. He initiated the fight when he was all alone, when Jacob was all by himself. Listen to me. All isolation is an evil. Sometimes God uses isolation for our transformation. There's moments when no matter how much you love him or how much you love her, you can't do anything else for them. There's seasons and situations where no matter how much you pray for them and how much you fight for them and how much you want God's best for them, that you can't do anything else in that season. You have to leave them to wrestle with God alone. You can still support, but you got to support from across the stream. Did you hear what I just said? You got to go across the stream. You got to support from the other side, because this is God's altar. This is God's workmanship. This is God's vessel. And God is going to craft and build however he pleases. Stop complaining about people that left you. Oh, they fake. Oh, they not real. Oh, they fake as turkey bacon. Oh, they this and they that. Maybe they're fake. Maybe they're fake. Maybe he never loved you. Maybe she was never for you. Maybe. But maybe that's God sending them to the other side so that he could get your attention. Because while everyone else is around, you're so busy being Jacob when God wants to show you there's an Israel inside of you. So sometimes God gotta isolate Jacob to wrestle Israel out of him. Did you hear what I just said? All isolation isn't evil. All adversity isn't from the adversary. The name Satan means adversary. It doesn't mean adversity. Don't miss that. The name Satan means adversary. It doesn't mean adversity. You miss it again. All adversity is not the adversary. All adversity is not the adversary. Do not confuse the two. God uses adversity. He uses adversity to anoint us with power. He uses adversity to prepare us for purpose. He uses adversity to teach us how to pray. He uses adversity to teach us how to walk with a limp. He uses adversity to make us more dependent. God uses adversity. The adversary uses attacks to destroy our power. He uses attacks to destroy our potential. He uses distracts to destroy our purpose. He uses attacks to distract. God uses adversity to develop. Is this helping you? Yes. That leads me to my second point. Don't let go in the fight. Don't let go in the fight. You ain't asked for it, but don't let go in it. Don't let go in the fight. Jacob is now in the fight of his life, and so are some of you. For some of you, struggle, stress, and stumble has become your new normal. Jacob can relate. He's been through things that you couldn't even imagine. Kind of like the person sitting next to you right now. Oh, I know it's anniversary Sunday. Oh, I know they look cute. I know her hair did. I know his shape up fresh. I know they smell good. I know they took a shower this morning. I know they was just singing off key for Jesus. And we're off key in the name of Jesus. I'll be off key and loving it. I'll be off key for Jesus. But trust me, they don't look like what they've been through. Though they look good next to you, but they don't look like what they've been through. They've been through some stuff that would break the average person. They've been through and had to do whatever they've had to do to survive to get to this point. They've worked multiple jobs just to survive. They've raised family members that they didn't give birth to just to survive. They lied, cheated, and stole just to survive. They used sex to survive. They sold drugs to survive. They ran the streets to survive. But there comes a time in life, hear me, when surviving isn't good enough. There comes a time in life where surviving is no longer God's best for you. Why do we settle for surviving when God made us for thriving? You ask some people, how they doing? I'm just getting by. God didn't make you to just get by. He said, I have come to give you life and life abundantly. Why do we settle for just getting by when God says, I have abundance for you? See, I have an iPhone. And there comes a time in life where as an iPhone holder, my systems need to be updated. Ah, God is telling somebody in the spirit today, you need to update your operating system. There comes a time when Apple sends me a little alert on my phone and it's telling me that my phone has a new operating system. Now, in that moment, I can choose whether I want to download that new operating system or not. But if I don't download it, I do it at great cost to my life, because there's apps that can benefit me that I can't use because I didn't update my operating systems. There's features that will make my phone more efficient and its performance greater that I cannot benefit from because I chose not to update my operating system. My phone will still function with my old operating system, but it will be functioning with the system that's out of date. Hear the word of the Lord for somebody. Stop functioning with a system that's out of date. You're functioning with an operating system that no longer works. God has to use adversity to show you that your system needs to be challenged. He is challenging your systems. That is God doing that. That is not the enemy. That is not an adversary. That is adversity. That is God grabbing you in the middle of the night and testing your systems. He's grabbing you because you don't trust him. He's grabbing you because you don't know who you are. He's grabbing you because he has more for you. God will wrestle you until you update your systems. He's challenging your system of prayer. He's challenging our system of preaching. He's challenging our systems of leading. He's challenging our systems of conflict resolution. He's challenging your system of forgiveness. And here's what many of us are finding. We're finding, like our phone, God is showing us that we need a new operating system. What got us here is cool, but it won't get us there. Oh, I want you to say that with me. What got me here? Oh, are y'all awake? I said, say it with me. What got me here won't get me there. One more time. What got me here won't get me there. What is there? There is your purpose. There is your promise. There is your potential. There is what's inside you. There is not where you've been. It's who you were made to be. There is where God wants every person in this room to go. What got you here, though, won't get you there. That's why, as God is engaging Jacob in a struggle, he has to show Jacob that he needs a new operating system. And so the text says, when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, boop, so that Jacob was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Now, as God is wrestling with Jacob, he realizes this man ain't going to surrender. This man ain't going to let go. So he touches his hip, boop. And he throws his whole joint out of socket. And many of us are just like Jacob. Hear me in the spirit. You're wrestling with God for something more, but you're unwilling to surrender to get it. You want more, but you don't want surrender. So you won't give up your pride. You won't give up your vision of being right. You won't give up your vision for your life. But you want more from God, but he has to dislocate some area of your life just to get it to you. Because you won't surrender on your own to get it. You won't get blessed the same way you got your bag. Oh, you strived for your bag, but you're going to surrender for your blessing. When God saw that Jacob wasn't going to let go, he simply boop, touched his hip and popped it out of socket, so Jacob had to let go. It was pain that got Jacob's attention. It was pain that was God's microphone to get his attention. Pain is the greatest weapon God can use to get you into your promise. Don't waste your season of pain. God will use pain to get you into your promise. See, Jacob becomes his promise through pain. See, God can only bless you to the level of your pain tolerance. God can only bless. Listen, when I was pastoring a small church, like a really, really small church early in my ministry, I had really, really small church problems. Then as God led me out to start my own church, now, when we was a really, really small church, just a Bible study, I had really, really small church problems. But then as we started to grow, now we're having two services, over 250 people coming every week, people all around the world listening to our sermons. As we're starting to grow, we're not even a mega church yet, but I already got middle church problems. But see, what happened is, as I grew, the problems didn't stop. They grew with me. Because the more people that are praising you are going to be the more people that are cursing you. The more people that are helping you and following you are going to bring the more people that are going to hate on you. So you got to realize that your haters are going to grow with you. Your problems are going to grow with you. The more you grow, the more that people you don't even know are going to say things about you that aren't true. But God can only bless you to the level of your pain tolerance. Well, God, why you haven't given me more? I asked for it because you can't handle it. You don't have the tolerance. You have not tested your system. You have not wrestled with him. You have not come to him with doubts. You have not come to him with fear. You have not tested the system. So therefore, you can't get what he has because you don't have the tolerance for it. How much can you suffer for it is the biggest determining factor of how much of it God can give you. We want destiny, but we don't want discomfort. But there's no destiny without discomfort. If you want God's will, you're going to have to go through the wall of discomfort to get it. Matter of fact, say this with me. No discomfort, no destiny. No discomfort, no destiny. God deliberately discomforts Jacob to get him to stop dodging and defending and to push him into his destiny. So as God is downloading a new operating system into Jacob, he is telling him through dislocating his hip, you operated on grind, but now you're going to learn to operate on grace. And that leads me now to my third point then. There's strength in the struggle. There's strength in the struggle. This is what God is saying to this church right now. There's strength in the struggle. By this point, Jacob and God have wrestled through the night. Jacob is wrestling for the championship belt. That boy is not letting go. Neither one has given an inch, grappling and jostling. But now God deals him a death blow. He boop pops his hip out. And God thought Jacob would finally let go then, but he doesn't. Ah, look at what the text says. The man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go until you bless me." God is like, "Yo, we've been tussling all night, bro. It's morning. Get off me. Get off me. It's morning." Now, what does daylight have to do with any of this? Well, when God revealed his glory to Moses, God says something very, very particular. He said to him, "I'm going to hide you in a rock so you can watch my back. You can see me strut past you. Like I'm going to strut past you. That's all you're going to see because you can't see my face." And he says, "You cannot see my face, for no man may see my face and live." So just as the sun is too bright for us to stare at without a filter, God is too holy for you to stare at without a mediator. Don't get it twisted. He invites you in, but he's a danger to you if you ain't got a mediator. You can't walk in on your own merit. You can't walk in on with your own resume. You can't walk in with your accomplishments. You can't walk in with your voice and your vocal skills. You can't walk in with your preaching abilities. God is dangerous without a mediator. So he said, "Jesus ain't come yet. So Jacob, if you see me face to face, you're going to die. You're going to die." So God says, "Get off me. I got to go." But Jacob, dislocated hip and all, says, "I won't let you go until you bless me." Jacob wants his blessing so bad, he's willing to die to get it. Oh, there's power in desperation. Oh, you didn't get destiny yet because you're not desperate enough. There's power in desperation. Oh, get a little bit more desperate. Let a little bit more trouble. Let a little bit more wrestle come your way. You'll get desperate enough to get it. But there's power in desperation. So Jacob is saying to God, "All my life I had to fight. I had to fight my daddy and my uncles and my brothers all my life. And now I got to fight in my own house." I'm sorry, that's the color purple. That ain't what Jacob said. That was Sophia. That was not Jacob. But Jacob did have to fight his whole life for his blessing. So Jacob says, listen to me. I'm not letting you go because for all of my life, I realized the one thing I wanted more than anything else was a blessing. Oh, he was so desperate for a blessing that he was willing to dress up and disguise himself as his brother to get one. He was willing to manipulate and be somebody else just to get one. Oh, I know, don't hide now. You've been somebody else to get your blessing, but that's not your blessing. That's somebody else's blessing. And guess what? You can never get free on somebody else's blessing. You can't get breakthrough on somebody else's blessing. You can't get breakthrough being what somebody else wants you to be. You need to be who God made you to be. All right, now I'm going to keep it moving. So then he said, oh, well, romantic relationships, sex, love, a spouse, a person is going to get me my blessing. And so he falls in love with Rachel, and he's willing to work 7 years just to get a blessing. But then Laban hits him with the okey-doke. And instead of giving him Leah to marry, he gave him Rachel to marry. He gave him Leah to marry. And when he got Leah to marry, he married someone he didn't love. Just because he wanted a blessing. He was with somebody that he knew he shouldn't be with. That he knew wasn't making his life better. That he knew wasn't getting him closer to his destiny. That he knew wasn't working him into his purpose. Just because he didn't want to be alone. Just because he wanted a blessing. See, Jacob was desperate to be blessed, and so are you. Your whole life you've been fighting for a blessing. Wrestling with somebody to say, I see your worth. I see your value. I see your importance. I don't want anything for you. I want something for you. I want to validate you. I want to see you. I want to love you. I want to serve you. I want to bless you. Your whole life you've been fighting for somebody to say that to you. So you wrestled for it. You did whatever you had to do to get what you needed to get by. But something shifts in Jacob in this moment. And I believe something is shifting in this house today. While Jacob is writhing in pain and wrestling for his future, he realizes that his whole life he's been wrestling with people thinking, if I got their blessing, then I could be whole. But now he sees this stranger that's forced him to surrender. And he sees this isn't just a man that's come in the middle of the night to jump on me and put me in a headlock. But this is a man that is God, that is coming, this is God coming as a man to bless me. God wrestled Jacob into the greatest revelation of his life. Did you hear what I said? God wrestled Jacob into the greatest revelation of his life. Your greatest revelation will always come from a season of your greatest wrestle. Jacob didn't know any of this was inside him until he wrestled. God is going to wrestle somebody in here into a new revelation of who you are. So he says, I won't let you go until you bless me. I won't let you go until you tell me I'm yours, until you tell me why I was made. And God didn't ask him if he was worthy or where he's been or how he's earned it. Instead, he asked him, what's his name? Oh. He says, what's your name? What's your identity? What do they call you? Who do they say you are? What do you answer to? What's your name? And so he replies, Jacob. That's my name. But Jacob meant wrestler. It meant somebody who takes a crack and creates a door. It meant somebody who's going to get it AMP by any means possible. That was Jacob. Jacob meant wrestler. Jacob meant deceiver. Jacob meant trickster. Jacob meant manipulator. So when God is calling you, if somebody's calling you Jacob, that means they're calling you manipulator, trickster, scammer. Jacob meant deceiver, and God looks at him and says, Jacob is who you've had to be. But Israel is who you were made to be. Whenever God is about to change you, the very first thing he always changes is how you see yourself. God doesn't change the situations around you. He doesn't change the people that you think need to change. He doesn't change the people that didn't do you right. He doesn't change the people that didn't believe in you, the person that divorced you, the job that fired you. He does not change those people. He first changes you. Whenever God is going to bring you into a new season, he has to first change you before he changes anything else around you. So he says to him, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans, and you have overcome. Somebody say, I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. Jacob meant one who strives against, but Israel means one who strives with God. See, because what you don't realize is in all you're striving against, the one person you were striving against more than anyone was God. The one person you was wrestling with more than anyone was God. You was not wrestling with your parents who failed you. You was wrestling with your parent who made you. And so now Israel meant one who wrestles against. Jacob meant one, but Israel means one who strives with God. Jacob was a scammer, but Israel is a prince. And God is saying to him, your default was to wrestle, but now, listen to me, TGH, your default is going to be to worship. Your default was to try. Now your default will be to trust. Your default was to fight, but now your default will be faith. Faith is trust-filled surrender. That's faith. And listen to me. We don't simply commit to Jesus. We surrender to him. We surrender to him. We surrender our pride. We surrender our identity. We surrender who we were. We surrender what we want. We surrender to him. That is the only way to come to Jesus, is to come surrendering. Wrestle is what got Jacob here, but worship is what's going to get Jacob there. And here's God's word to our church as we close. Listen to me. God's word to our church is, we are going to get there, which is the promise and potential he's put inside this body. We're going to get there, not by overwhelming our opposition, but by getting a new identity. That's how we're going to get there. God has already shown me that this church is bigger than New York. This church is bigger than Harlem. This church is going to be global. This church is going to change the world. This church is already changing people all around the world. We just don't know it yet. There's Israel inside of us already. We just don't even know it yet. Israel is dormant. So what did God have to do? He has to wrestle Israel out of this Jacob. This is a body of Jacobs that he's wrestling to become Israel. And here's what God wants us to know. Israel was always inside of Jacob. But God has to use resistance to pull that out. And like Jacob, we always have this potential to be more inside of us. But God has to use resistance to pull it out of us. Because like Jacob, sometimes we're Jacob and sometimes we Israel. Sometimes we righteous and sometimes we ratchet. Sometimes we show grace and sometimes we gossip. Sometimes we pray and sometimes we get petty. Like, let's just call it what that is. We got Jacob, we got Israel inside of us, but Jacob is wrestling against us. But God is saying to this house as I close, listen to me, CGH. God is saying to this house as I close, we are no longer going to live and vacillate between two versions of ourselves. Did you hear what I just said? This church will no longer vacillate between two versions of itself. This church is no longer going to have the potential of Israel, but live with the perspective of Jacob. This church will no longer vacillate between two versions of itself, because all of this wrestle, all of this struggle, all of this doubt, all of these challenges is simply God calling us to surrender. God is about to move this church into a season where our wounds will stir our worship. And look at how the story ends. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? And then he blessed them there. What's interesting there is Jacob says, tell me who you are. I want to know who's the person that was blessing me. But God says to him, it doesn't matter who blessed you. What matters is where your blessing came from. It doesn't matter who's the vessel that the blessing comes through. What matters is where it came from. The source of the blessing is God. And God says, I'm not going to tell you my name as I wrestle with you, because I may not show up in your life looking like this next time. I might show up looking like a baby daddy who ain't paid his child support in 5 years. I may show up looking like an enemy who's gossiped against you. I may show up looking like somebody who has failed you and let you go. I may show up looking like a mother who never was gentle to you, who never consoled you. I may show up looking different. So you don't need to know what my name is. You need to know where your blessing comes from. And then Jacob called the place Peniel. Peniel means face of God. He says, I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. And when the sun rose from Peniel, Jacob was limping. He was limping. Jacob has learned that you don't walk out of a wrestle with God the same. You went in suicidal. You came out with salvation. But you don't come out the same. You come out with a wound. You, and that wound is the wound of grace. You don't walk away from a wrestle with God the same. Jesus walked away with holes in his hands and his feet. You don't walk away from a wrestle with God the same. And much like Jacob and Jesus, God is about to bring this church into a season where we're about to benefit from our bruises. Don't think the bruises were in vain. None of those trials were in vain. All of those tears were watering your future. None of it was in vain. Our new name is coming, church. Are y'all ready for it? Our new name is coming. You don't sound ready. Our new name is coming, church. Are you ready for it? We are going through a metamorphosis as I speak. We are going in one way and coming out another. We're going in grapes and coming out wine. We're going in olive and coming out oil. We're going in cocoa and coming out butter. Somebody say hallelujah. Because your skin going to be smooth and you're going to be blessed. God is about to increase the impact and influence of this church. But he's going to do it by giving us a new identity. Who's going to come to God today and get their new identity? Jacob is now Israel. And Jacob walked into every battle strategizing. But Israel walks into every battle limping. Limping into his promise. Not at full strength, but full of God's strength. Israel limps. This house is going to limp. We're going to limp where God is calling us to go. We're going to limp while others run, and we're going to lap them. But we're going to limp. Who's ready to limp? If you're ready to limp, if you're courageous enough to limp, if you're bold enough to limp, if you're bold enough to show up in the world as someone who doesn't have it all together, but is a product of grace, if you're bold enough to show up as someone who doesn't walk by sight, but walks by faith, if you're bold enough to show up as someone who doesn't have the answers, but knows the one with all the answers, if you're bold enough to show up in life that way, if you're bold enough and courageous enough to show up in life that way, then God has a blessing for you. God has a blessing for you today. I'm inviting you now to bow in prayer, but not just to pray. Oh, you pray all the time. I'm not calling you to pray right now. I'm calling you to surrender. When are you going to give up? When are you going to get tired? You're already tired, but when are you going to admit, I can't save myself? God, I need your blessing. Bow with me in prayer. Father, I thank you for the limp. I thank you for the limp. God, I may not always look like I'm limping, but I'm always limping. And I thank you for the limp. The limp is a reminder that I need grace. The limp is a reminder that I'm fallible. The limp is a reminder that I'm not God. The limp is a reminder that I'm a product of mercy and grace. The limp is a reminder that you have not called an equipped man, you have equipped a called man. That's the limp. And God, like Jacob and like Jesus, we need the limp. We need the limp. I thank you, God, for the person in here who's complaining about the limp. God, they don't know today, but they just got wrestled into a revelation. Their revelation is that their limp is actually their blessing. And God, I pray that in this moment, you will continue to reveal to them who their new name is. Show them the Israel that was always inside of that Jacob. Show them the prince and the queen that was always inside of that trickster manipulator. Show them the surrender that was always inside of that wrestler. Show them their potential. Show them who you've made them to be. God, we can only find who we were made to be from the one who made us. God, forgive us for not coming to you sooner, but thank you for wrestling us into our future. We love you. We praise you. I give this church to you. This is your church. Do what you want with your people. Grow your people into the calling you have on their lives. Wrestle them into their surrender. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.